Oh, and this is all the meeting members we're going to have. Mike Hirsch is.
Hirsch will join us at 3:30. The earlier time was a barrier for him.
And Mary Russell Miller is not going to continue, and has a conflict today.
Maybe as part of calling the meeting to order, Ann, you can mention who's absent.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Let's let Natalie start recording, and then you can call to order, please.
Oh, the recording is going.
Okay. The meeting of the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee is called to order at 3:04 on Monday, May 3rd. And I'd like to welcome everybody and our guest, Jackie Bachman. Thanks for joining us.
I need to leave at 4:00. I'm sorry. I have another meeting, but I'll
okay.
be here.
All right. Oh, and yay, here's Mike Hirsch. We weren't sure if he was going to be able to come before 3:30, so that's great. Anyway, as far as other attendees go, Mary Russell Miller may or may not be able to join us today, but she is going to not continue her term. And so we, I think we have a quorum. 1, 2, 3. Yep, we have a quorum.
It's not that she's not continuing her term. Her term ends and she's just not re-upping the term.
Exactly.
She's continuing her term.
Okay. All right. So do we have any addition or changes to the minutes?
We should also name that Kathy McNeil couldn't be with us today. That member is also absent.
Okay. All right. So, do we have any additions or changes to the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Third.
Agree.
Minutes are approved. Okay. How about additions? Pardon?
I made it.
You did make it. Thank you, Mike. Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda? Okay. It doesn't appear that we have any public input unless Jackie has something to say. No? Okay. Well, we are moving right along here. All right. So now, Mike Gardner, you're going to cover the addition of our new ASAC member.
You bet. So by the powers invested in me, I'd like to, We did interview, as most of you know, a couple individuals to become members of the ASAC subcommittee. I'd like to welcome Deborah Johnson to the committee. And, you know, I don't have your resume in front of me, but I would love to just give you a moment or two to fill the rest of the board in on why you want to be here. Would you like?
Okay. Can you all hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. I had changed some of my audio settings, so I wasn't sure if I was still on this other microphone. I'm a retired geriatric care manager. I relocated here to Southern Oregon 5 years ago and eventually retired from that practice. But I've been very involved since then. Well, actually, even while I was at care manager, and I'm doing a lot of work with hospice, and I currently am continuing that work, but in a different role. I am an active volunteer with Oregon's Death with Dignity Law, so I am on the team that is, you know, for patients who decide to use medical aid in dying, and I also do some work for the Red Cross, and I wanted to be part of this group because of my interest in seniors and aging, and I'm learning. I want to learn all about what we do as a subcommittee, and be able to, you know, offer my experience and my input whenever I can. Yeah.
Great. Great. Well, I can add that that Deborah's been active in the Ashland Newcomers Club as well, and in Ollie. So she's been active in the community in a number of capacities.
Yes.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Deborah.
Thanks.
Very good. And we did have another individual, Kenneth Bennett, who kind of at the last minute decided that he was not going to be able to join the subcommittee, even though we had a nice conversation with him, and he seemed eminently qualified and proper to be on the committee. So, but he's out of town for more time than he would like, and informed us today that he wouldn't be able to join. So with that, just as the chair for Parks and Recreation, we continue to search for members of the community that would fit well with this committee. I think it's an important committee, and we need to continue to search out people, friends and neighbors of yours, anyone that you know that you know out there that might be interested and might be able to help us accomplish our mission. And so I'll leave it at that and turn it back to the chair and Bellagio.
Okay, and I'll just take a moment to welcome another guest, Rob Casterly, I see has joined us. Thanks for coming. Okay, well.
I have one question.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question just based on Mike's comment just a minute ago? How many more people are you looking for the subcommittee?
We have two.
Two more
people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, because I do live in a neighborhood that, you know, has almost all seniors. You know, I live down in the Verde Village 2 neighborhood, and we're really like this little retirement community. It's so funny. You know, I think there's only, but anyway, I will put it out on our intranet, you know.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested, because everyone that lives down here has a lot of experience in so many ways.
Great.
Yeah, with Mary leaving, as of July 1, we have one opening now, and as of July 1, we have a second opening.
Okay.
Probably whoever we bring on, we bring them on as of July anyhow, because that's our next meeting.
Okay, great.
So, good, thank you. And, you know, maybe I'll just put a plug, if I may, Anne, that a conversation that Anne and Sandy and some others I have been having, also thinking about how we can diversify who is on ASAC, and, you know, whether that is in, you know, all the aspects of diversity, including people's backgrounds and professional experience that they bring to it. So, but so many other ways we've been trying to think about diversity, equity, and inclusion in our society, we could certainly do with some more of that for ASAC. So.
Okay, well, we're on to the next agenda item, which is the election of officers for the coming year 2021-22. I think just before we do that, it's probably a good idea to just kind of review where we stand with the committee in general in terms of membership and terms. Right now, all of the present members of ASAC terms go through June 30th of 2024, with the exception of Kathy McNeil and Sandys, who I'm showing here as both being July 30th of 2023, and Mary Russell Miller, whose term ends as of June 30th of this year. So, so that's our composition so far. So now with the election of officers for chair, Mike Gardner has agreed to serve pending approval. And so, and we don't have a candidate at this point for co-chair or vice chair, however we define that. And so we have discussed whether it would be useful to have someone, and I guess I could do it as an acting vice chair, but we don't need to decide that today, I don't believe. I think we can see if there's anybody who might emerge by the time of our next meeting, and then we can deal with that. So right now on the table is the election of Mike as chair. Will all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Are there any votes? Oh, Mike, it was a close election, but.
It was close. Burner. You know, and I lobbied hard for this position. Thank you so much.
Well,
no, seriously,
it's the pay. It's
I've been on this commission since its inception, and I'm more than happy to, I don't know if I could say that I could lead us on as Ann you have and Sandy you have in the past, but I'll do my best to chair a meeting and try to recruit some individuals to join our committee. Because, once again, as I said earlier, it's an important place that we need to, we need to focus energy on. And it's with everything else that's going on, it's real hard to lose sight of how important the services that Eileen's department really, adds to the whole makeup of our town. So not her department, her village. So anyways, thanks so much, and I'll do my best.
Well, and I personally appreciate it. It's because you have great experience in running meetings, and I know that'll bring some structure to the committee that will be welcome. And I would just add that we talk a lot about diversity and respect and inclusion in Ashland, and of course, we can hardly say that seniors are a minor group, because we represent 33% of I should say 65 plus represents 33% of the Ashland demographic. So we are a significant part of the community composition. And so obviously, if you are addressing the needs of that larger group, it will have benefits for the whole city, because you're affecting a lot of people. So anyway, all right. Well, I don't know that Linda has.
I think she might have been aiming for 3:30.
Right.
Hoping she'd join us by now. Can we just take our reports while we wait for her to join
us?
Yes,
I think that's perfect. Mike, do you have anything from the APRC that you want to contribute?
Well, actually, the only thing, and so Walker School next to the Senior Center is going to be remodeled later in this cycle of all the 100 million plus bond that the school district received from the voters. And so it's a little unfortunate, but the Ashland Park and Rec Commission and the school board are kind of locked in a little small controversy on the use of Hunter Court, which is the street that is adjacent to the senior center, goes down into the parking lot for the pool and tennis courts, and ultimately does a turnaround at the bottom and comes back. The school district was under the impression that was a city street when they were doing all their preliminary work, and actually it's a private street. It's controlled and managed by Ashland Park and Recreation, so it's on city property, which is park property managed by the park commission. So as their configuration is going to totally change that corner where their parking lot currently, the ingress and egress is off of Homes. They're proposing a circular, more circular type parking provision that actually brings them in and off of homes and comes out on Hunter Court, adjacent or across from the parking lot between the tennis courts and the swimming pool. So just real briefly, that's their plan. That's what they designed. I mean, they're ready to move forward with, but we had a couple requests from them for using that street, since it's not a public street. If there's anything that has to be maintained on that street, it's actually the responsibility of Park and Recreation, not the city. And so we've asked for a few things, a maintenance agreement on the street. We've asked for a cross parking relationship, which if there's a brand new parking lot right across the street, it might actually help the senior program, you know, in some ways, you know, just having some space available there for anything that might come up. And then there's a couple other pedestrian models that we thought they should do for in between the central bike path and the school. And you know, unfortunately, I'll just be blunt, they've been hesitant to agree to any of those things. And so it's a bit of an impasse, but I think we'll work through it. But I don't see it having any major impacts on the senior center, but there will be probably within the next 12 to 18 months, some major construction, you know, right next door. And where they currently have a small ball field right on the corner there and whatnot, that's going to turn into their new parking lot as they expand their school a little more towards the southeast, I guess that would be toward, you know, more towards the pool and Hunter Court. So, you know, once again, it's a controversy, but it can be all resolved. It's not going to have a major effect on us, I don't believe, but, you know, just as a heads up, there'll be probably some major construction on that corner, and it'll change the traffic flow of Hunter Court a bit. It might actually, the way they have it proposed now, it'll actually expand the, where Hunter Court comes into homes, it'll be one lane wider. So there will actually be maybe less congestion as you go down there. So, you know, there's probably some benefits that'll come up. We've asked them to save some of the larger trees that go down that tree line that are right across the street from the senior center, which they're agreeing to do, which I think will be a benefit. It won't change the landscape as much as if they just denuded the whole area and then, you know, and change it around. So,
Eileen?
I think we will lose 3 parking spots on the streets that were quite well utilized by seniors, and we won't have access to their parking, even if they do that. It sounded like they were willing to do the inner agency parking part. There was less argument about that, but they have expressed in a previous meeting that of course wouldn't be during the day when school is in session, which is the hours that you know, the parking would be needed. So, you know, you do lose a little bit there.
Yeah, well, you know, but I would almost contend that might be a negotiating point, because I brought that up in our meeting the other day that, you know, we will lose some spots on the street there. And those are, you know, those are in close proximity to the center, that if students, mothers and fathers aren't parking there waiting to pick up their kids, then, you know, seniors or tennis players or pool goers are using it, and we will, you know, we will lose those spots. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
do we have to give her permission to use it?
Their parking lot?
The street. It's not their street.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of like been our gift to the school district all along, and they haven't quite realized that we've provided them this great gift for years and years. But, you know, that's, we're still working on that.
What if it were a handicapped spot?
What's that?
The school district hasn't been terribly inviting with the city in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother story, but so, but we won't get down on the school district because they're not here to defend themselves. So
I just wonder why we have to give them permission unless they agree to our terms.
Wow, you know, come on, Steph, you need to come to our negotiating session.
I'm happy to invite me.
Okay, we will.
Is there any, could we make those spots handicap only?
You know, because it's a private street, I we could probably do a lot of things that, you know, that wouldn't break any rules. I'm not sure. You know, so the if you went down across from the entrance to the parking lot, to our parking lot, those are the spaces, because their parking lot's going to empty into Hunter right there. Those are the spaces that Eileen points out that we'll probably lose because of their entrance and egress right there. So basically you're asking if you could make more spots on Hunter Court handicap spots as opposed to just general parking. You know, we probably could. And if we really thought that was important, that would be something to come to the commission about, you know, if we wanted to do that.
Mike?
Go ahead.
Is it possible at the next meeting, is it possible for the next meeting minutes to map with the street names and where the parking is now and what would be changed so we get an idea of the area and where we're going to lose and maybe consider places where we can make up for that. You know,
that'd be great.
I think we should have, since we're the senior center, we ought to have a map of what the negotiation is about.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, if you're going to build a house next door to me, I get to vote on that. So
yeah, no, I totally
get it. As a neighbor,
yeah,
we should have rights, at least to see what's going on.
Okay, if that's doable, let's put that on the agenda for next time. I want to ask Sandy, well, first of all, I guess I would ask Mike Gardner, the negotiations, are they happening with the school district staff and leadership, or is it with the school board?
Well, ultimately it's with the board, but actually they've mostly been sending their surrogates to us. So we've been talking to planners and construction engineers and that kind of thing.
Wow.
But we did have a joint meeting last week, which turned out to be, we didn't make as much progress as we needed to, but the two elected bodies actually got together last Tuesday night for an official joint council school board meeting or commission school board meeting. And, you know, to resolve some of these issues, but we haven't got there yet.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that we've made some overtures through the Livable Ashland work group to the Ashland School District and talking a lot about the intergenerational opportunities, which I don't think we've had we haven't had any formal activity like that between seniors and students with other than, you know, like the Aspire program and a few things like that. So we're looking to strengthen those opportunities. And it seems like it would be really a bad idea to be starting off on a footing where there's a active controversy between these two generations of residents. So I'm just wondering.
We're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. So I'm just wondering if, you know, that's what I'm saying, you know, where might this conversation happen from a Livable Ashland standpoint, where we could do some education around the fact that, 33% of Ashland is age 65 plus, and we're a great resource for things having to do with the students in Ashland and mentoring, right, and, you know, donation to the Ashland School Foundation and things like that, where there are established collaborations and cooperation. And so, you know, where would some education help as to why it's to their benefit to make sure this is a harmonious relationship?
Well, the answer to the last question is yes. The answer to an earlier question I thought I heard was that that's what the board, the APRC Board of Commissioners is trying to do, is to try to open up the dialogue with the school board. So basically policy making board to policy making board, let's see where we can work together. Let's see what opportunities there are out there that we can collaborate on to, you know, to try to involve more. I mean, obviously they're focused on kids. You know, when I talk to the school board, I say, you know what, we're focused on kids and we're focused on middle-aged people. We're focused on small families, I mean, young families. We're focused on seniors. You know, we run the gamut. So, you know, we really, there's several ways that we can cross-pollinate, so to speak, what, you know, what we do and how we serve the community, which is the ultimate goal, is to use the resources that we have and try to see which way, you know, what ways we can use them collaboratively to enhance the livability of our community, you know, and it, you know, for them, I mean, granted, it's all about the kids. I get that, but, you know, it's the same for us too. But in addition to that, we have the senior, you know, the seniors, and we have the rest of the community that is totally focused on kids, but looking for ways. I mean, we've been talking about how can we cross use facilities, you know, how, I mean, we haven't actually got to talk about that, but that's what we want. You know, how can we, you know, use facilities, use existing, you know, whatever valuable components we own or have, each one of each group, you know, how can we bring those together and try to make something happen? So,
well, so in general, consider us a resource, because the steering committee not only has Eileen, Sandy, and I on it, but we have representatives of Ashland YMCA and SOU and the hospital and, you know, these other city and council, and Stephanie's on it as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have a broad representation across the age span on that work group. And so if there's any way we can help with education of any of the people who don't understand the resource, the value of having a large population of seniors who are able to contribute in ways that would be beneficial to the school district.
Yeah, well, I would say that right now, probably Michael Black and myself are kind of driving that effort, sure, of, you know, trying to open up this dialogue and, you know, the school board will say they're totally swamped. They got $100 million of projects going on. And I get that, you know, I mean, it's a difficult time for them right now, but, you know, in a few years, their schools will be rebuilt and, you know, there's no reason to not think about collaborations as you're going along. So we'll do our best to bring that to the table for sure.
Can I jump in really quick, Anne?
Sure.
Whoever's chair, I don't know. So I was just going to reiterate what Mike said, which is that right now, I think the school district has a pretty myopic point of view where they're just focusing on their age group. And when they give presentations, they really focus on, this is all we do. You know, this is it. But the reality is that in a community like Ashland, most of the money for schools and for all of the bond that was just approved is coming from households that there are no kids in those households. And I think that the community should have some sort of, I mean, the community has, I don't want to say that the community doesn't have any say in what's going on, but right now I think it is myopic. It is just looking at just this one aspect of what the school district does. And unfortunately, it's not, they're not really looking beyond just the education of the kids. And they look at all of these, all of the other requirements like sidewalks and safe access to the school and how they interact in the neighborhood and with the senior center and the park and things like that as secondary things to what their goals are. And they don't, in my opinion anyways, feel like they need to be worried about those things. So I think now is a good time to say, hey, you know, we're your neighbors and, you know, we're also residents in the community and take the opportunity to get involved with what's going on. They're not very used to having much involvement in their processes.
Well, I think, Sandy?
Well, so what I'm hearing you say, Mike, is Michael Black is different from what I heard Mike Gardner say in a way. And I'm just wondering, you know, from a livable Ashland standpoint, I agree with what Anna said. We do have representation from several groups. And one of our things is advocating, and one of the things for this group is advocating also. So I'm just wondering where would it be good to plug in? And is now the time or isn't it the time? Any ideas?
My point of view, and Mike, we'll let you say what you think, but my point of view is that there's no time like the present to chime in. I think now is the time to chime in.
We've had one member of our group, Catherine Danner, have a meeting with Sam, I don't know his last name, and some other the program person at the school district, and lots of, you know, excitement on their part about what Livable Ashland is doing. So all I'm wondering about is, that's why I ask about, is it the school district staff people or is it the board? Because we've had no contact with the board. And if it's having coffee with somebody, you know, on the school board, that would be valuable. I'm happy to do it. I know Sandy would too, or Catherine. So, you know, it maybe offside, we don't have to do it here, but maybe we can have a conversation about what would be useful for us to do by way of education, not necessarily advocacy, but education.
I'm not sure that I believe that advocacy isn't important as well. There's been a lot of conflicts that I can see between Children's World and Lincoln School, between the playground and Lincoln School. Times that we've asked to use facilities with the school. I think that we have something that we can use right now to say that our needs are going to be met as well as their needs. And, you know, I think there's a lot of controversy about the school board as well right now and the election coming.
Mike Gardner?
I would just piggyback real quick on, their board's a little different than APRC, which obviously I'm most familiar with, and the way they interact with staff and you know, the approach of reaching out to school district staff versus going to the board, you know, that might be the way to go. I'm not sure. I always think that the policy people should be involved too. But the other thing I was just going to say right now is, they have the school board has a major election coming up next month, and two of their directors are going off. One is running for reelection, but they have the potential of having three of their regular board members, you know, gone. Well, two of them are going to be gone because they haven't renewed their terms. But, you know, so there might be, it might be opportunistic. It might be real confusing you know, as new board members of the school district on board. So I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, Michael and I are going to pursue this whole thing with the Hunter Court, which is where we started this conversation. You know, we're going to have to continue to plow through this and get the best result for everyone involved, which is the school district and the parks, which involves all of us. So, you know, we're going to continue to do that. As far as a livable Ashland, I'm totally in support of reaching out and, you know, initially I said I'd reach out to the board, but I'm not sure that your current pursuit isn't as good as, you know, as some other avenue right now, you know, under the circumstances.
Sandy, let me just pause for a minute. I just want to ask Natalie if Linda Reed is waiting. Okay, Sandy?
Well, I appreciate this conversation. And my thought is that we should, you know, go with what Mike Gardner is saying right now. And there, he and Michael Black, there are too many Michaels here, you know, are carrying this forward. You're listening to this conversation. You know that we're concerned. And Eileen, it sounds like you've been involved in some of this conversation too. My thought would be that we go with what you're currently doing. If you feel that there would be a role for anybody from this group or from Livable Ashland, that we would be willing to be called in to something, to have, you know, have an offsite coffee with somebody or come to a meeting. So that's kind of where I hear this going. But I also think that this issue with parking and Walker and the senior center may be, and I kind of hear in a way Stephanie saying this, kind of a good leverage point to do some education and some assertion of what some rights are here. Mm-hmm. At least from a negotiating standpoint. So I guess I would encourage that. I mean, obviously we don't want a combative kind of thing, but don't give up too easily.
And I want to just check in with Eileen. Eileen, are you having an opportunity to participate in these conversations?
I've only been a listener. Happily, Mike Gardner and Michael Black have advocated on, excuse me, on behalf. Sorry, had a tickle all day today. But I've just listened to these long meetings.
No fun. Well, anyway, I do think there's many younger people, younger adults, middle-aged adults, really haven't thought about the fact that they're going to be older. They haven't thought about the fact that their parents are already older and they themselves need to be reliant on a robust system for senior supports. And so that's the kind of education I think we can do. It's the kind of education we did as part of the Ashland, the restructuring of the Ashland Senior Program. Because again, we all push that time in our lives and the time in the lives of our parents off into the future. And we don't really think about what that can mean for us as younger people if our older adult people are not, you know, they're tripping and falling, or they can't find a parking space, so they can't get to the senior center and all that kind of stuff. So that's something I think we can help with. So if we don't have Linda on the call just yet, we can. Is there anything else from APRC? We can go on to City Council.
Oh, that's more than enough, I think, for you.
Okay. Stephanie.
Well, you probably all know that we're dealing with the budget right now, and that consumed a lot of the time. We have approved the first reading of the Social Equity Commission that will be having a second reading soon. the issues. I think it will be important for the senior center advocates to be sure that the budget committee knows that that's an important part of Ashland.
So I'm just wondering, do you feel that aging, respect and inclusion for aging adults is included in the equity sensibilities?
Well, I think it's supposed to be, but I think it's mostly going to end up being about probably racial and also
gender.
Sexual orientation, gender. As I would love to see somebody from the senior community on that commission so that it could connect up. I mean, we do have seniors too that are from the from
all of those, yeah,
all of those things. And I would like to see that's included. I have mentioned that, but
so an aging, okay.
Yeah, you know, what are there any barriers for Black aging or
yeah, we certainly know that in long-term care the LGBTQ community has faced challenges in congregate mm-hmm. living situations and all right.
So could I ask a question? You mentioned budget. I mean, we did all receive from Anne a request to contact the budget committee, which I did, and got some response. So I'm just wondering, so, I mean, I don't know who else did that, and you can say you did or you didn't, but what more, or has that been at all effective? I mean, I got a response from one of the members, and then I also copied the APRC and got a response from Rick Lant, thanking me for doing that, but so what's next?
I just think that City Council and the Budget Committee do look at how many emails and support letters different groups get, because, you know, one of the things that the council is trying to do is be sure they represent what the city wants. And sometimes the only people that they hear a lot from are people that want to cut things.
Yeah.
So it's important, I think, to advocate for what some people might see as not essential services, but enrichment services. You know, I think what the senior center has done and what Parks has done during the pandemic, and what the senior center, the senior advisory group is beyond recreation, is important to let people know about all of the things that we're done with. Even the COVID and the vaccinations and referrals and things, how much help Parks and the senior center has given during this time. They've given a lot.
Well, maybe we can, go ahead, Mike.
I just wanted to add one thing, and I don't know the date. Michael can fill me. So, unexpectedly, the budget committee has requested that APRC come and actually, I think we're thinking more like an interrogation. It's probably, you know, the presentation of the of APRC and the other departments of the city was different this year than in the past, but we are going to have an opportunity to at least answer some questions. And, you know, I can assure you that one of the top priorities on my list is to explain to people that as they consider reducing further the Parks Commission budget, that it's these kind of programs, you know, the Nature Center, the senior program, the extras that, you know, that really draw people into our city or make our town more livable are on the block. You know, when you start cutting funding, then, you know, these are the things that are going to go away. And, you know, as we, and not to scare anybody, but I mean, that's what I would use to advocate for the importance of, you know, what we're doing. So I just wanted to bring it up since we were talking about budget committee, that we are going to have an opportunity to field some questions and hopefully make some statements as well.
But timing wise, you know, to give some urgency to people who are motivated to do some advocacy, yeah. When must this happen to be effective?
Soon.
Soon. So the meeting Mike is talking about is May 11th, which is next Tuesday. And it's an important meeting, although we don't really know what the, we haven't been given an assignment. We just were told to show up. We're going to meet and we're going to talk about a short presentation that just kind of talks about, I think we should talk about why APRC exists, what we do, and what we've done over the years, including the senior program and the history with the senior program. And then also we're going to talk about a little bit about what we've done to manage our resources and how our resources haven't changed over the years, except to go down. But we've always managed to get by with the resources that we have. So if you want to help out, and want to get a voice out there before the 11th or on the 11th during public comment, would be a very, very good time to do that.
Yeah. Well, one of the, for public comment.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was getting at. So the one thing that we haven't done, and Sandy, we could do this. We haven't brought in, and from an advocacy standpoint, our other steering committee members. So, you know, we have access to voices from, if they're so inclined, Ashland YMCA and the hospital. And those, you know, SOU, some of the other, I don't think a lot of people in the city, they're so under the gun right now. It's so hard for them to focus on these really threats to things that we all take for granted, like the parks, you know.
And it's also the other budget committee members, not just the city council, but, you know, the budget committee members that are, you know, are your neighbors, you know, that are making these decisions on, you know, what should stay and what should go. I mean, that's basically what, and theirs is a recommendation to the city council. So ultimately the council makes the decision, but still, you know, these people have sway and they need to hear the stories, you know, out there.
Yeah.
One more thing, just to reiterate, Steph said earlier, generally they only hear from the people who are looking for changes in the terms of cuts and reducing budgets and everything. But there, you know, obviously there are people who like being able to go to a senior center and a nature center and have parks that function and you know, and that's just our side of the world. But they don't hear from those people. So if you watch the meetings and you read the emails that come in, you would think that the majority of the people in the community just want to see cuts to everything, regardless of what the impact is, because a cut is better than paying any amount of money, you know, because, you know, there are people who think that you know, we're just squandering the money. There's not really a lot going on. We're just taking it and doing whatever we want with it. But programs like this are the ones that suffer. The Nature Center, keeping the splash pad open, having restrooms that are clean or even open for people to use, and maintaining trails and fixing sidewalks and those types of things. Those are the things that will suffer.
Mike Hirsch?
I was always amazed because Ashland sort of straddles the line between being a city and being an urban town. You know, it's an urban town. And I see budget committees that make recommendations that the council doesn't approve. I see lots of things that objectively I can't understand why the city doesn't give more priority. But the point that was made about use of the money that some organization or operation gets, do we have a independent audit committee? In other words, forget a PRC, but that would be an example. You get a budget and you promise the city these are the things you would do, and this is the amount it would cost. Do we have an independent audit organization that goes to each getter of funding and audits their performance and then reports back not only to the city, but to the, and I don't see that. And yeah. I know a lot of seniors in this town who complain almost daily about how bad the streets are in this town. And I go around a great deal because I deliver Meals on Wheels and I go food bank and all over. I, for a quote, wealthy upscale town, we probably have the worst city streets in the country. You know, okay, you might find someplace in rural West Virginia that's worse, but basically our city streets are horrible. And yet,
well,
you know, somebody says, well, it's more important to spend money on art. And depends on whether you want to feed the body or the soul, as the saying goes. But, you know, it's all a matter of what do you need, what do you want? And I don't see audits being done on performance.
Let me just, again, interrupt to ask Natalie, okay, all right, you're going to, like, wave or something. Could you call Linda?
I will admit her as soon as she comes in. I can try giving her a call.
Just to see, yeah, make sure, because maybe she doesn't have the right Zoom link or something, you know, that kind of thing.
I emailed her, and I didn't want to stop in order to call her, but
yeah,
you can, maybe I should go off and call since you're doing minutes. Natalie, I'll try giving her a call. But I think we can be pretty confident that she's not, that we'll have to reschedule her at this point. I think we've kind of used the time.
Okay.
I am mindful of the time and our remaining agenda items as it is.
Okay. All right. I keep forgetting. I'm looking at the clock and going, oh, well, you know, we've got until 5, but we don't, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, I think it might be better if I didn't even try to call her. I think if we just let it go.
Okay. All right. That's good.
I'm really making a plan, however, and addressing people that are actually going to do this, are going to make public comment on the budget committee, because that's really, that date coming up is important. There are a lot of people that think recreation are different than park properties, and some people think that we shouldn't have as many park properties and sell off things. So this is a major issue right now. And I think, really try to get the senior people that you know to write about the importance of the service and parks. I think that's real important right now.
Okay. All right. We will do that. I know Sandy and I have both, I see Mike Gardner and Michael Black.
Mike Black was going to answer Michael Hirsch's question.
Yeah, can I just answer it really quick? Mike and everybody else, we are audited yearly by an independent financial auditor, and you can find all of those audits online. under the finance department, and you would find ours under the component unit financial report or the comprehensive annual financial report. So if you look for one of those two things, you'll find our annual financial report. But to go beyond that, we have done, Ashland Parks and Recreation has done a performance audit as well. We had an outside performance auditor come in and do an actual performance audit on us about 5 years ago. And you're more than welcome to look at that as well. We'd be happy to provide that. The city is talking about doing more or starting to do some performance audits, but they haven't done them yet. I know that's something that they've talked about in budget this year. So far, I believe Parks is the only one who's done a performance audit.
Thank Great. You.
Then, Mike, were you just wanting to make sure I, yeah, okay. All right. How about then, can we move on to the educational report, or Stephanie, did you have anything else for council?
I think that I've taken up enough of you guys' time.
Well, it's our time too. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's our concern as well.
Yeah. Anything you want me to do that I haven't answered, just feel free to ask.
Okay. Natalie?
Hi, thanks. So I'll just let you know our upcoming events as we're trying to schedule, one educational event a month. This month on the 12th, we have the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs in Salem is doing a Zoom presentation with us about vet benefits and helping people identify and apply for benefits they may not be realize that they were eligible for. And then in June on the 16th, we have RVTD doing a sort of a travel training presentation on there are new services to help riders like the AMO pass, which is a fare capped pass for bus riders, just to help educate those members of our community who use public transportation and are interested. And this aligns pretty well with our bus pass program through the city, where we are able to distribute bus passes and belly lift passes to eligible seniors. And that's a very popular program of ours.
Great. Eileen.
So as always, I refer you to my report, which was mercifully a little shorter this time. as you've been hearing from me the past couple months, it's been all about vaccines, but I feel like we're wrapping that up with a final, very small, as it turns out, clinic at Rogue Community Health tomorrow. We worked with over 600 people that we helped them learn about what was available. We directly matched probably 250 of those. And in the last few weeks, we've worked our way through a remaining about 120 people, and almost everybody had already received a vaccine. So it's really changed. People are getting those. And we feel proud of the work we've done on that. We also have two nursing students working with us from OHSU, and a nod to Sandy for making that connection a few years ago. It's really exciting. We were on the verge of doing it last year when COVID hit, and that kind of canceled that plan we had. But this year we realized that we had a really good topic. They are working with us on just understanding more about social isolation and loneliness in seniors, which had already really manifested in the research in the last 5-10 years about the impact on health outcomes with both loneliness and isolation as two independent variables. And then of course with COVID that has exaggerated it so much. So they're doing a literature review, and they are helping us very much in our senior phone buddy program, which we are in the process of transforming into, rather than a peer-to-peer, a volunteer program, which, you know, we've come to believe is a little more robust way to help people. And so that's really exciting. And I hope that they'll be presenting. They finish up in June. I hope they'll come back and be able to present in July for us at our next meeting, some of their information and outcomes. And they're doing some research as part of that. So that's exciting. I want to let you know that we've had questions about, are we reopening? And I can't remember if I said it last month, but the guidelines from Oregon Health Authority, OHA, unless they change it, they have, as you know, risk levels for counties from low, moderate, high, and extreme. We're in extreme. But even in the low risk, in all four of those categories, they say that senior centers should remain closed. So we have to wait for further guidance. I guess low still is disease activity. It's not pandemic over, that definition of low. So I assume that when we get toward that low, we'll hear more guidance about that. But that means we're going to be staying closed for a while longer. It's not, with going back up to extreme, it doesn't look like we're even hitting low anytime real soon. So that feels important to let y'all know. My final thing, I just want to ask you to maybe mark your calendars for July 21st for our ice cream social. Natalie, is that 1 to 3 again? Is that 1 to 3?
1 to 2:30.
1 to 2:30. Thank you. Once again, this is sponsored by Village at Valley for you. We'll make sundaes. And, you know, if you're vaccinated and you want to help dish out sundaes, that could be fun. If fortunately we have another layer of protection than we did last year, where I was very hesitant to ask anybody over 65 to help. But I think we could entertain helpers if you want that. Get in touch with me. Or just come get a sundae. I've had the hardest time getting you AFAC members to take sweets at our events, though. We had a lot of fun a couple years ago where a bunch of people came, but you did not eat a single sundae. I had to humiliate myself by being the only one eating that ice cream.
July 26th.
July 21st. Let me just make sure I've got that right. Yes, July 21st. So it's a fun time just to say hi to people, but it's not quite as the same as when we had our wonderful musicians in the past.
Maybe we should invite our neighbors at Walker Elementary or the school board or just comment.
I don't think we can serve all the children at Walker Elementary. That might overwhelm us just a bit. But by all means, invite the school board.
If will that help or hurt?
I'm sure it would help.
What?
It would help, I'm sure. They need to get out more.
That's the end of my report. Are there any questions about that or anything in my written report?
I don't really have a question. I just want to comment that I really appreciate what you and all the staff have done during this time. I mean, it's just really been remarkable with the reaching out to people, both for loneliness, for referrals, for vaccine, and that information needs to get forwarded so that people are aware of what you've done. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Ditto.
I have a question. Is there the same hesitancy that we see in the general population to vaccination in Ashland seniors? Do you have any feeling on that?
Absolutely. And so, you know, the subset of people we were working with were the people who were trying desperately to get it.
Yeah.
We aren't hearing as obviously from the people who are reluctant. And I'm so ready to put this project down, but we have talked about doing an education presentation in collaboration with Community Volunteer Network. I think she's as burnt out as I am, but she, our colleague, Kristen Milligan from Community Volunteer Network, said that there was, she heard a great presentation from an epidemiologist. And, you know, once you get all the people who wanted the vaccine, now you have the task of persuading the people who didn't want it. I've been surprised, though, looking at some of the state data, that at the point that 65 and above were the ones who could get it, I was seeing something like 50 or 60%, the Oregon Health Authority was saying, had been vaccinated, much higher acceptance rate than I was expecting. I haven't seen fresh statistics in a while. I remember seeing one where I'm like, wait, that doesn't look right. So I don't know how accurate that is, but it might be better among seniors because we've been told for so long that we are the most vulnerable. So it'll be interesting to try to pry some of that out. Maybe I'll try to look some of that up, whether they have some of that data on the OHA site.
I think they do, because I talked to Adam this morning and they were talking about the fact that they're concerned about Jackson County and Oregon State, because I think only around 30% of the population is vaccinated.
I think that's true overall. I just had heard that it was higher among seniors. So.
It is higher among seniors.
Well, Ashland is known nationwide as having the highest vaccine hesitancy, you know, among one of the few, I guess, places where there's such a widespread concern about vaccine safety. So we are... In the younger age groups, we're seeing that reflected with this particular vaccine because it's so different.
Hey, Mike, had a question.
Well, I just want to say the seniors I know all been vaccinated, but they've had incentives. They can go to my wife's Tai Chi class. You're vaccinated, not wearing a mask outdoors. At the beer group, we don't let all of the beer group members have to be vaccinated to attend. We don't even consider them if they're not, you know. But if you go to Medford, you see lots and lots of people who don't believe in masks, don't believe in vaccinations. But I think the worst statistics in the state is University of Oregon, where they have hundreds of cases, you know, and there doesn't seem to be a reason.
Well, you know
why? Why Oregon State is doing well and U of O isn't. You know, somebody play that one back to me.
Well, let's give Sandy a chance to update us on livable Ashland, because I see we are getting kind of close to our time.
Okay. So I don't have anything too much more than what I reported last time, except I do feel we're making some progress. We have continued to meet, and we have set up at our next meeting, which is a week from Thursday, we're going to have some conversation about some potential roles. We've been kind of, a lot of our work to begin with, of course, as I think you may remember, was related to the needs assessment, and we are not probably finished with that, but we are finished as much as we can get right now from the data that we are able to get. We kind of figured that with the COVID time, it really isn't the time to do more focus groups and that kind of thing. It's going to be a warped sense that we get because of that. So we aren't going to go further with that right now. So what we have begun to talk about is what is our role as a group? As you may remember, we are part of this group from on the advocacy, what do we call it? Is it a sub work group? But we now, as a steering committee, represent this group, but many other groups. So what is our overall role? So some of the things that we have talked about being our role, I'm just going to read through them and see what you think about them. As I say, the group would not be surprised about these, but they have not actually discussed it in this manner yet. So you're getting it ahead of time. So one is to assess and identify livability issues, convene meetings of stakeholder organizations, encourage collaboration among stakeholder organizations, which certainly fits in with some of our previous discussion, monitor collaborative livable Ashland initiatives, publicize collaborative initiatives, and advocate for support for livable Ashland initiatives. So essentially, we see ourselves as a group of people coming together to break down some silos, to be able to talk to each other, to be able to collaborate together, and work through other groups really in order to affect what we want. So that's essentially what we're doing. We do have some potential initiatives that we've talked about in our groups. One is that the Y and the Jackson County Library System and the Ashland School District are talking about a summer program to kind of combat the learning loss that has occurred during the COVID epidemic.
And that would be in conjunction with the Ashland School District as well. That was one of the partners we identified. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe I said that. Maybe if I didn't, I meant to.
The YMCA and the
library and the school district. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Another is to work with the Tidings and the Y and Ollie for a class on demystifying healthy living. And then we've divided other potential issues into the domains that WHO AARP has identified. And I'm not going to go through all those, but we have possible activities or initiatives that we might consider. And the word is might. We're not there yet. But looking at outdoor spaces, lack of accessible public space for dining and relaxation, transportation, limited accessible public parking, talked about street repair and sidewalk maintenance problems, housing, seniors living alone in larger older homes, in the SOU neighborhood, and problems of affordability and companionship, which might morph into a program with SOU, in terms of sharing a home with a student, social participation, students adversely affected by COVID and the Alameda fire. So maybe a tutoring program, which could be in conjunction with the earlier program I mentioned, civic participation, expanding awareness of senior volunteer opportunities in Ashland, limited awareness of interorganizational initiatives affecting the 60 plus demographic, senior lack of information, technology skills might be a collaboration with Ashland School District or younger people, K through 12 students, focused healthcare for seniors. Asante Ashland Community Hospital is in the process of setting up a geriatric specialty, and Lee Shapley, who's one of our members who is actually leaving town next month, but presented that to our group. And looking at healthcare advocacy for seniors living alone. So those are some of the things that we have been talking about. So any questions? or anything Stephanie, Eileen, or Ann want to add?
Done a good job.
I feel like it's finally coming together. I have to tell you, this has been a very difficult thing to figure out for me, because it's kind of been a group really with no purpose and no money and really no direction. And it has been a challenge, but I kind of feel in the last couple of months, Ann and Gary Anderson, who's one of our members, and Catherine Danner, and I put together this discussion piece, and Dan Crocker, who is the CEO of the Y, really is the one who put together a list of what our roles are, and that's been very helpful. And I think we now have some direction and some ways to go that fit within what we were really set up to do from the beginning, so that we feel like we might be doing something, but we're not overstepping our goal and setting us up for something that is impossible, since we have, you know, we are an arm of the APRC and of the City Council. Through this group, it's a very weird place to be, I will say. So I kind of feel like this idea of putting groups together who can have an opportunity to talk together and share ideas is a good thing for us.
I do think the concept that we really discussed a lot was, you know, breaking down these silos. There's definitely more collaborative opportunities than are being pursued, and just even knowing about what other groups are doing, and then seeing the opportunities for synergy. It's already bearing fruit, just among the steering committee members, and I know we can expand that. But the advocacy role sounds like right now it needs to be maybe more front and center with our connection with our elected bodies. You know, we have the APRC, the City Council, and the school district as people who are involved in decision making, that where our educational focus could come into play, as we probably need to, you know, move that up on our agenda. So, Deborah?
Being new and not knowing that much, Sandy, and I'm curious if Livability Ashland, I know you said it's an arm of the City Council and of APRC. Is that also, do you have a Facebook page called Livability Ashland? Because there is a Facebook page, and I was wondering.
It's different.
Okay. So any information about what you're doing and this committee is just through your reporting here, or, I mean, there's not really a separate site of information.
No.
Okay.
I'd be happy to talk with you more about it, Deborah.
Yeah.
Or anybody, or Ann can too. So.
Yeah.
We can distinguish that this is called Livable Ashland, an all age friendly community is the long name. And the Livability Ashland is the Facebook page that Jackie Bachman and her husband run. She got kind of taken with the name of Livability and jumped on that. It's a little bit confusing. But those are similar issues that she and her Facebook followers are very concerned about. So there's a lot of overlap in issues, and she would certainly publicize anything when we were at that stage. It's been very much at the behind the scenes stage. And I would also just clarify, especially to make sure we don't misstate that in the minutes, that the APRC and the City Council signed on to apply to the Age Friendly Network, the AARP Network of Age Friendly Communities. So in that sense, we are acting on their behest to implement. but we are not, this livable Ashland is not a formal commission or subcommittee in and of itself in that very formal public meeting kind of way. So I want to make sure that we maybe don't use the language of being an arm so much as, you know, okay. You be a little careful how we state that, because it
we're a work group. Water.
A work group. Exactly. Exactly. When you're a work group, you're not doing all the public meeting stuff. So,
okay.
And we could certainly make recommendations back in a less formal way to those bodies, but so not as a formal subcommittee or commission of the city council.
Right. We're sort of, you know, as defining those rules was very helpful. So, you know, we do inquiries. And we do collaboration and we convene people, or we suggest people who might want to talk to each other. And, you know, and we come up with ideas, but we aren't actually, we as this group are not actually doing it. We are stimulating and, you know, encouraging and that kind of thing. So it's an interesting kind of role for sure. Well, so our next meeting is Monday, July 12th at our regular time. Eileen.
We need to just pause and ask if there's any other items from ASAC members.
Oh, righto.
Just a quickie, because I'm so involved in the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. One, do you guys know that we do a lot of home delivery to seniors?
Mm-hmm.
And do you get feedback? And since I'm probably going to be going to the food bank Zoom meetings, I love Zoom meetings. Anyway, I'm going, would you like at the next meeting for me to give you a mini report on how things are going in the food bank? Because they're many of the customers are seniors. They're either seniors or a lot of homeless and poor young people, but it's a lot of seniors.
Eileen?
Thanks for bringing that up, Mike. I want to give kudos to Steph because she's also on the board and has, you know, consulted with me a couple times and put me in communication with Isaac, the new executive director.
Yeah.
We're going to, I actually have to check with him whether he's ready for us to put it in the June newsletter or wait for July. We're going to be putting some stuff in our newsletter about the expansion of that food box program. We've certainly been referring all year. I was so thrilled when they got their volunteers organized to be able to do more home deliveries. I was wondering actually whether it might be useful to have Isaac present at an ASAC meeting, if that would be of interest to you. However, we do have a speaker scheduled for July already, the follow-up question that people had about housing and, you know, home modifications for universal design. We'll have someone from planning department. So Anne and I can schedule these things, but we'd have to probably spread it out. So I'm not sure. Other people need to respond on whether they'd like maybe a mini report from Mike at this point in the agenda rather than a full presentation agenda item that we
want. Well, it'd be mini and fast, I promise.
Yeah,
I'm all for that. I mean, you know, I think you could just bring it up as items from commissioners, but I think a future 15-minute presentation from the food bank director would be great.
Okay.
I can get Isaac. I'm not sure, because he's getting married either June or July. I don't know when or where he's going to be.
September. Schedule for September.
I'll coordinate with him on our schedule.
Okay.
And I think, you know, if I can just add to that, Mike, you had encouraged us over a year ago, I think, to really consider the other groups that we interact with and do some reporting back. And I think we talked about that, this part of the agenda items from ASAC members. So
mm-hmm.
I think maybe I can help you in the future, Anne, on that agenda to just have a sub bullet that says other items from ASAC members. So we remember to pause and ask, because I only put down the ones I know about, but we have to... We forget that there's others. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so our next meeting, Mr. Gardner will be chairing on July 12th, we're back to our regular time, and it will be via Zoom. If there aren't any other comments or announcements or anything, Eileen?
Well, I want to give kudos to Anne, our outgoing chair, and who really did not want to have to chair, and you got so good at it, Anne. It's only been a few months, and you got it really good. Didn't she do a great job today keeping us
on
track?
You got an agenda sitting here, and you just all you have to do is go through it, right?
It turns out she's trying to sell you guys that haven't stepped up. Deborah, you think about it for your future, because most others have taken their turn at it.
And I have to give kudos to Eileen because she's so gentle. She'll say, Anne, did you want to ask for things from other men? So see, you got backup.
Yeah, we try to help each other.
Yeah.
Mike did some good helping too, because on Zoom, noticing who's got their hand up sometimes needs a little help. It can be hard to spot. So, and I was sad that Mary had her refrigerator crisis today and couldn't be on for what would have been her last meeting. She sent her regrets, and we wanted us to know that she really enjoyed her service, but is gonna move on to something else at this point rather than renewing. And so I'm sorry we can't acknowledge her in person, but we'll acknowledge her in absentia for her time with us.
Move to adjourn.
Well, some people do come back. I noticed that Rob is visiting.
Yeah, Rob.
So you count me in. So Rob, has been off.
Well, we'd love to count you in.
So I'm glad you still are interested and involved.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we are adjourned.
Great.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.